You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The U.S. Supreme Court today heard arguments in an historic case that will test the legality of the DACA program. The Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program was introduced by President Obama in 2012 to protect immigrants brought to the United States as young children. It offers temporary protection without a pathway to citizenship. But President Trump tried to rescind DACA. The lower courts blocked him, and now the Supreme Court will decide. At stake is the fate of some 700,000 young immigrants, often called dreamers, including more than 6,000 here in Michigan. One of them is back with us now. Javier Contreras is a DACA recipient. It is good to see you. I know you and your family came from Mexico to Michigan when you were just 4 years old.
That's correct, yes.
What are you thinking about today as historic argument's happening at the Supreme Court?
There's a lot I'm thinking about. Unfortunately, not new. I was talking to a couple of friends that now it just happens to be at the highest court of the land. And it just seems, though, that we've been here time and time again. DACA is going to be rescinded. Oh, like, renew now. DACA is about to end. It's just the same story over and over again. So, unfortunately, I feel unfazed. Yes, I'm worried. But at the same time, this has just happened way too many times. I'm very interested to see what will happen, but it's just a constant state of limbo that I'm wondering. Hopefully there will be an end to it, but we will see.
And I know for your family, is it much the same for your parents? How are they feeling?
Yeah. So in particular, my mom, she, every time I'm over, she talks about the news, about everything going on. I think she's more on top of it now than I am. And I think that kind of leads back to my just kind of being exhausted of constantly thinking about it. I left it aside for a little while, but my mom's always been on top of the news. And to her, I think I might be a little more pessimistic and negative viewed, I think just given the history of everything. But she is still very optimistic and hopeful that they'll make the right decision and not strike down the DACA program. So my mom is still very hopeful that they'll keep DACA around.
Now, it has been 2.5 years, I double-checked, since you were last here talking with us on Stateside.
Time flies.
And since then, you've graduated from the University of Michigan. You have a degree in computer science.
Correct, yes.
So now, how are things going work-wise for you?
They're going well. Currently a product manager at a marketing agency. Having a lot of fun with that. I started not too long ago in August. And it's been interesting. After I graduated in April of 2018, I worked at an immigration law firm for a year or so. I'd been doing that kind of work for a while, and I didn't want to jump right into engineering right away. And I loved being in that environment, talking to people that could very well be my parents from across the table, helping them fill out applications, and really being within seeing everything that's happening and the impact that it's having directly on the community. But since then, I wanted to put my degree to use, and in August, I started working as a product manager.
And has your immigration status affected your employment at all? I mean, were there any conversations with your employer that, with questions or things that needed to be established?
No. So I'm part of a fellowship program, and through it, they pair you up with, like, startup companies. And I had to go through a round of just talking to as many companies as I could. For the most part, I didn't notice it being an issue. There was one company that I reached out to. It seemed like a great opportunity. And then they had me fill out a form where I had to answer various questions. And one of them was, are you a U.S. citizen? Shortly after I filled that out and I said no, they reached out to me and said, hey, unfortunately, you're not a citizen. We can't work with you. But it turned out is because they were doing work that was classified, I needed clearance. So that was the only really obstacle, and I get that, that I faced. Other than that, you'd be surprised how many people actually still don't really know fully about DACA. I would talk to their HR and be like, hey, I have DACA. Is it okay if I apply? And they'd be like, let me get back to you. I'm not fully sure. But for the most part, I didn't have too much trouble.
You know, I'm interested, Javier, just even in your social life, when you're out, you're around, you're meeting people, at what point, if ever, does the, by the way, I'm a dreamer, I'm a DACA recipient, how does that work its way in, if at all?
So I historically have been very outspoken about that. I guess I've never really been shy to talk about my status. So I personally, and this is my personal experience, I've always been someone to I'll eventually tell most people about my status, especially if, I mean, obviously you have to get a read on them. And even if I get the wrong read on them, I still try to expose that part of me. I've noticed that it's helped me in situations that it's kind of been eye-opening to certain people.
How so? Give me an example.
Whether it's on social media, whether it's in person. I had a buddy that I met not too long ago through school that I could tell during this kind of administration was very pro the current administration, and they still hadn't really known me yet back in engineering school. And I slowly started to get to know them better and open more about my life. Eventually, we became friends on Facebook, and they really got to know who I was. I'm not very shy on Facebook, as my status goes. And I remember we had a conversation. We sat down. We talked about it. He asked me a lot of very directed questions.
What
I could
kind
tell
of
he
questions?
Was curious.
Like, yeah, what was he saying?
Why did your family come here? How long have you been here? Oh, I didn't know it worked like that. And the more we started talking, the more I started explaining I'm not an attorney, but I know some of how the law works, having been around it so much. I started explaining the barriers to it and what I could and couldn't do and why it was so hard to, quote unquote, get in line. Just having that dialogue, it really helped him to understand kind of past the current, what you see on the news, on Fox News, look past that. And kind of, it's like, oh, this is my peer. I go to school with him. I know him directly.
You became the face of this.
I became the face of that.
Do you feel you changed his mind or his outlook?
I like to think so. It's hard to say, though. I mean, I don't want to become the exception. That's the thing. And that falls in line with, the dreamer narrative, unfortunately. As you were saying, these DACA recipients are commonly known as dreamers. I hate that term, to be all completely sincere. It's to say that only the high achieving, the engineering student, the pre-med student, it becomes very merit-based. What about the people that don't go to college right away? What about the people that it's not in their family to go to college? It leaves them out. I have an issue with that. We also have to consider the people that are, like I said, that don't go to college right away, but are still have work in construction, that do jobs that need to be done, that also hold a lot of value within our society.
And do you think that term dreamer doesn't encompass them?
Unfortunately, I don't think so. I don't know where that term first began, but I know that term is kind of, every time I think of dreamer, I think of them pointing to the high achieving DACA recipient.
Javier, we're not going to get the Supreme Court's ruling until sometime by next summer. But I want to ask you right now, what does a favorable ruling mean for you?
Unfortunately, that would mean going back to the same old limbo. I mean, it's been around for 7 years now, and it's a Band-Aid solution, which is great. It came in my life, it came at a great time when I was finishing high school. It got me through college, and I was able to start my job. But it wasn't supposed to even last this long. And I feel like it's been stretched so thin that we're just going to be another chip in this 2020 presidential election. And while, yes, I'm not going to say that I hope it's not passed or that they keep it in place, but it just, we're back to square one. Unfortunately, that'll be the reality of it.
So if the high court says that the program stays in place, you're saying the limbo continues?
It does.
What if there's an unfavorable ruling and the court says the Trump administration can go ahead and dismantle the program? What would that mean for you?
That's terrifying. And that's terrifying. As you were saying, there's 700,000 people that are currently working, that currently have mortgages, that if they're in school, if they're not in school, it completely disrupts their lives. They've established themselves here in this country.
How about you?
Yes, I wouldn't be able to work where I'm currently working at. I lose my work authorization. Simple things like a bank account, everything. I do have that established, but moving forward, establishing my identity, I couldn't drive here in the state of Michigan. It really disrupts one's lives. And I don't... So Trump's tweet this morning, it was very well favored towards he chooses when he wants to say that DACA recipients are great people or when they are all criminals and threatening and what have you. It's just his thing is get rid of it and then we'll replace it right away. no one buys that. The process for changing any immigration law or implementing anything is so painfully slow. We've seen it with the Dream Act. We've seen it with DACA being so stagnant. It's their view, the Republicans' view of get rid of it, and we'll work now. This is the time. We'll finally work with you guys. It's unfortunately, both sides, the Democrats will also say the same thing. We're just a chip at this point, and that's the way I see it. I am hopeful that the testimonies that were given are able to speak to the human spirit and kind of show, put a face, like as the friend I was spoke with, put a face to real humans going through this. And I just hope that it's enough to persuade the Supreme Court.
Javier Contreras, DACA recipient, we want to thank you for being with us.
Thank you.